This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real-life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves, the I am, and the world in which we live. Always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, Dr. Joe Dispenza. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark, and ciao, everybody. I am excited about today's show because we do have Dr. Joe Dispenza on, and Dr. Joe Dispenza is a fascinating man, and he talks about things that are fascinating to me. He talks about the mind and breaking out of our habits of being ourselves and changing our mind and changing our lives, and it's something that I think about a lot, actually, but don't think about enough, or at least not in the way that I'd like to, and not in the way that Dr. Joe talks about it. I've heard him speak several times, and I've actually had the pleasure of meeting him, which actually reminds me of a funny story, which, thinking of that story this morning, reminded me of yet another funny and maybe not so funny story about how the mind is used sometimes by me and potentially by many of us. In this case, it was my godfather who was using his mind, my uncle and my godfather. Growing up as children, my older brother had a best friend, and his cousin, my brother's best friend's cousin, was Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk, which was popular on TV at the time. And so those two were first cousins, and they would see each other often and all of that. And so my brother would get firsthand, pretty much, information about what's going on in his cousin's career, especially since his best friend's mother was so happy talking about her nephew, the famous actor. So Lou Ferrigno, we knew a lot about him and heard about him a lot because of my brother's best friend. And way before the publicity came out or there were tabloids, or at least my uncle, you know, didn't read tabloids. So he didn't know anything about him except he would see him play the Incredible Hulk on TV. He didn't know that Lou Ferrigno was deaf. And that actually makes an interesting story that I can't wait to be able to interview Lou Ferrigno someday in person, because that is one of the reasons why he became the Incredible Hulk, why he worked out and why he worked his body to where it was, because he was teased as a child. And so because nobody knew he was deaf and he didn't hear them, so he got teased. Well, my uncle was on a plane flying one day in coach. And as he got up to get off the plane to deboard, Lou Ferrigno stepped in front of him, a couple people up in front of the line, and was about to deboard as well. And my uncle, being Italian and wanting to connect since Lou Ferrigno was Italian and liking the show, says, "Hey, Lou." And my uncle shared the story with us that he yelled out, "Hey, Lou, Lou, Lou Ferrigno," several times out loud in the plane to get Lou Ferrigno's attention. And then my uncle shared with us that he said, you know, who does he think he is what he thought in his mind. And so he yelled out, "Hey, Lou, you son of a bitch, who do you think you are?" And he shared that story with us, his family, because he was so upset that somebody would become famous and forget where he came from and not even acknowledge his name being called. Well, certainly anybody has a right to not acknowledge their name being called for whatever reason. But my brother shared with my uncle, you know that Lou Ferrigno is deaf. So especially if you were behind him, I'm sure he didn't hear you. And there was this quiet that came over the whole table as we were all gathered, because for anybody else that heard my uncle say that, and if Lou maybe had caught that part, that's kind of hurtful and very uncalled for, especially since Lou never heard him call him probably to begin with. And so my uncle's mind changed at that moment. At least we hope it did. But it changed my mind. It made me think that sometimes when we encounter somebody like a clerk who's rude or somebody who cuts us off on the road or something, that just maybe there's something going on in their life that we don't know. And that instead of using our mind to say, wow, that quote-unquote SOB just cut me off or just was rude to me at the counter, we might could use our brain, our mind, to imagine that maybe they're having a bad day. Maybe she just found out she's pregnant and she can't afford a baby. Or maybe he just broke up with his girlfriend or something. And they're in their own mind, and whatever they're doing actually might not have anything to do with us. And I wonder how that changes our relationship with these people, but I'm actually more interested in how that changes our relationship within ourselves if we change our mind that way. And it's interesting that I share this story because of the story that I have in meeting Dr. Joe. Dr. Joe's last name is Dispenza. Now, it happens to be what I recognized as an Italian last name. And so enjoying the ability to speak Italian and not often having that ability, for whatever reason, when I actually physically met Dr. Joe for the first time for a video interview we were going to do, as I shook his hand, the first words that came out of my mouth is said, Dr. Joe Dispenza, with a name like that, too bad you don't speak Italian, would be fun to speak to you in Italian that way. And Dr. Joe's response was, ma come mai lo puoi sapere che non parlo l'italiano? Lo parlo meglio di te, forse. Or something to that effect. In other words, he speaks Italian. Where do I get off thinking, using my mind to think that he doesn't? So our assumptions, our use of our mind in certain ways, obviously affects not only ourselves, but the people that we affect and the world. And I can't wait to talk more about that when we have Dr. Joe Dispenza on the show with us right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook, and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest today is Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's a neuroscientist, a lecturer, an author, and an expert on the brain, mind, and human potential. He has spent decades studying the human mind, how it works and stores information, and why it perpetuates the same behavioral patterns over and over. Dr. Joe has taught thousands of people around the world how they can reprogram their thinking and eliminate self-destructive habits so they can reach their goals and visions. He draws on both scientific and universal principles to deliver practical tools and techniques that empower people to truly change from the inside out, and so change their results in their lives. Dr. Joe is the author of the best-selling book, Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind, and also was featured in the movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? I am happy to be introducing to our guest, Dr. Joe Dispenza. Ciao, dottore.
Ciao, amico. Come stai? In inglese.
Sto bene, grazie. It isn't that the truth, though? Don't we make assumptions all the frickin' time?
All the time.
And what does that do besides cause awkward moments? I mean, like, something's going on in our minds and that's affecting our bodies, right?
Well, if you look at it, the way the brain is wired and the way we feel emotionally is pretty much how we perceive reality, which means we perceive reality 99% of the time based on our past experience. So we tend to color or filter or overlay our present reality with our memories of the past experience that we've had through different points in our life. And layer by layer, we begin to behave equal to those experiences. And therein lies the problem.
Hmm. And so then we wonder why we get the same reaction from people, or we have the same situations come up or experiences, because we're the ones that actually created it. And this isn't woo-woo. This is science, right?
Well, there's absolutely no doubt that this is science, because every time you have a new experience or any time you experience anything, gangs of neurons organize themselves to reflect the event. At the same time, the moment they string into place into patterns called neural networks, the brain releases a chemical, and that chemical is called a feeling. So feelings and emotions tend to be the end product of past experiences. So thoughts are the language of the brain, and feelings are the language of the body. So how we think and feel creates its state of being. So over time, our state of being is equal to how we perceive reality. And so it could be something as simple as an interaction with a coworker, or in a relationship with a loved one, or how you're actually viewing a sunset, or how you taste food. But it's always equal to how you're wired and how you emotionally feel.
Right. So how we're wired, I'm glad you use those words, because a lot of us think, well, that's just how we're wired. So that's just how we do things. But that's not necessarily true, right? We can change that.
Right. I mean, you know, the truth is that, you know, our brain isn't hardwired in the least, that every time we learn something new, Filippo, we make a new synaptic connection in the brain. That's what learning is. Learning is forging new connections. Remembering is maintaining and sustaining those connections. Now, we reach a certain point in our life where we stop learning and we start feeling. And when we use feelings as a barometer to determine reality, we're viewing our future based on our past. The element of using the brain properly to learn new information, then to apply what you learn, to personalize it, to demonstrate it, means that you have to modify your behavior in some way. And if you can change your actions or do something differently and get your actions equal to your intentions, or your behavior equal to your thoughts, or your mind and body working together, you're going to have a new experience. And a new experience is going to create a new emotion, and it's going to reorganize patterns in your brain to reflect that moment. But it's not enough to do it once. We have to be able to repeat the experience over and over again. And when we can do anything over and over again, we neurochemically condition the body to memorize that behavior or that experience, as well as the conscious mind. And the moment the body knows, well as the mind, we're in a state of being. And that is the name of the game when it comes to evolution.
We're in a state of being. I really like that, because now all of a sudden you took me out of my mind, because where my mind was going to go was I could just hear people saying, oh, yeah, it's another one of those things where we have to use positive reinforcement, or we have to lie to ourselves that actually things are really different than they really are. And I know that you're not saying that, but I know that there we go. Patterning might lead us there.
Sure. And, you know, change is not easy. Let's face it, because change requires unlearning and relearning. It requires breaking the habit of your old self and then literally reinventing a new self. It requires losing your mind and creating a new one. We have to break away those synaptic connections that we learn that may not actually be the truth, but what we've concluded about an experience. And then we have to sprout and grow new connections. We have to unmemorize emotions that we've stored in our body by thinking and feeling in the same cycle. and then recondition the body to a new mind, to a new emotion. It requires, you know, letting go of the energy of the past and creating with an energy of the future. And so if we use our senses to define reality, then we'll surely talk ourselves out of possibility, because our senses are going to, you know, force us to look at the present reality. But our senses should be the last to experience what our mind has created, which means then our present reality has been created from our past thoughts and feelings and behaviors and choices. So if we understand that what's happening in our present situation is really a creation of the past, then what are we doing in the present moment to create a new future? That then begins to allow people to give themselves permission to say, okay, this is only going to be a transient moment here. Let me begin to change the way I think. Let me begin to change the way I act. And let me begin to change the way I feel, so I'm not staying in this present reality for too long.
You know, Dr. Cho, does this work some of the time and not all the time? Because there are some things that we can change and some things that we can't.
I would say that certain things are easier to change than others, without a doubt. But let's just look at it really simply. Your personality creates your personal reality. And your personality is made up of how you think, how you act, and how you feel. So the present personality that's sitting in their present reality has a set of, you know, hardwired thoughts, a set of habituations or behaviors that have become second nature, and a set of emotions that they've become addicted to. So if we want to create a new personal reality, we got to give up something in order to do that, which means we got to start embracing new thoughts, we got to start making new choices, which leads to new behaviors, that then leads to new experiences, that leads to new emotions, and now we climb out of the, you know, the hole that most people find themselves in when they're in the midst of crisis or in the midst of change.
You know, for those who don't know Dr. Joe Dispenza, he's a really smart guy. He studied biochemistry, neuroscience. He graduated magna cum laude. You're not just saying, oh, you know, isn't this fun, or isn't, you know, you're saying that science is saying, you know, if you're convinced as a scientist who one would think is skeptical about things, if you're convinced, then I should be. And what do you think is the blockage to some of us being convinced?
Well, we're back to that original point of view about changing your mind. It's so much easier to stay in our state of complacency or our present beliefs, because that becomes part of our identity. And when you wear your identity that's connected to your problems or your pain or your suffering or your past, those choices to give them up, it's like an addict giving up anything. It requires a certain amount of discomfort, and it means that we have to break the chemical continuity that we've created that has become part of that identity. Why? Because when we think a thought, we produce a chemical. And the moment we produce a chemical, we begin to feel exactly the way we were just thinking. The moment we begin to feel the way we begin to think the way we feel. And that cycle over time of thinking and feeling and thinking creates a state of being. So if a person has an insecure thought, then in a matter of seconds, they'll feel insecure. The moment they feel insecure, those feelings will drive more insecure thoughts. Now, some people do this for probably 20 or 30 years. And the redundancy of that cycle, thinking and feeling and thinking in the same cycle, conditions the body to memorize that emotion better than the conscious mind. Now, whenever the body knows better than the mind, we're in a habit. A habit is when the body is the mind. So the problem then becomes that 95% of who we are by the time we're 35 years old sits in a set of subconscious programs, automatic behaviors, and memorized emotional reactions that become part of our identity. So the person who's thinking positively, which is what we were talking about when we started this, think positively with their conscious mind, but they've memorized negativity or guilt or suffering, and it's in the body. So mind and body are working in opposition. The process of change means that your body's going to become uncomfortable, And in that period where you are going from the old self to the new self, there is a dry desert and is no reaffirmation in your identity that you are creating that's going to give you permission to accept what you can't see or experience with your senses yet. So most people have that void, that moment where they're laying down the old self, and all of a sudden there's this blank period of time where they can't relate to anybody, things aren't showing up, and instead of persisting onward, they return back to the familiar feelings, the familiar reality, the familiar choice, and that then reaffirms their identity, and they say, oh, this feels right. Well, in actuality, it feels right to the old personality. But the old personality initially said, I want to be healthy. I don't want to be in self-destructive relationships. I want to lose 10 pounds. And, you know, I want to feel like I have a lot of energy. Well, that requires then changing some thoughts, changing some behaviors, and changing some emotions. And that means you got to come out of your resting state, which means you got to be a little uncomfortable.
You know, uncomfortable and maybe even confused. I have to share, I'm stuttering because I'm going to be a little bit more vulnerable than I think I wanted to be at this moment. But I had an experience recently where, because I experience so many highs with people, I get to hug a lot of people, whether I'm doing a show or singing or something, and people are happy and are crying emotionally because they're happy and stuff like that. When something not happy happens, or that's how I experience it, I take it really hard. So I had an experience recently that was technically a not happy experience. And so I wanted to cry. I wanted to just cry and wail and go into my old Italian Sicilian patterning that I learned so well as a child. It's like, wow, I could really get off on this. But I didn't, which left me in this state of limbo, and I was confused. And a friend saw me in this state and said, Filippo, what's wrong? And I'm like, I want to cry. And then so this person says, well, feel your feelings. Go ahead and cry. And I say, no, because on some level, this actually could be a good thing, but I'm not processing it like that, so I want to cry. But that's an old pattern, so I'm trying to think maybe it's a good thing. Well, but if you don't cry, if you don't feel your feelings, so you know, then you're not being true to yourself. And I'm thinking, I'm so confused right now.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with emotions. Emotions do one of two things. They either are the record of past experiences, or they're the energy that we use to fuel our creations. That is what emotions are for. That's what they're for. Now, when you have an experience in your life, be it pain or pleasure, happy or sad, when your five senses are immersed in that experience, everything you're seeing and smelling and tasting and feeling and hearing, and you're interpreting reality, the moment you begin to notice a change in your internal chemistry, because there is a shift in your emotional state, you pay attention to whatever it is outside of you that's causing it. That's a natural phenomenon.
Right.
Now, there's a refractory period of chemicals that are created from an emotional reaction. And there's nothing wrong with having an emotional reaction. However, this is the Sicilian aspect. If you have an emotional reaction to something in your life, and that refractory period continues to run for hours or days, now that emotional reaction, that with a long refractory period of days, turns into a mood. So someone says to you, Filippo, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm in a mood. Well, why are you in this mood? Well, this thing happened to me 4 days ago, and I'm memorizing my emotional reaction. Now, if we keep the same refractory period connected to the same experience running for weeks or months on end, now that's called a temperament. So then someone says, well, why is he so sad, or why is he so guilty, or why is he so upset? And you say, I don't know, why are you so upset? Well, most people say, I'm upset because this thing in my external environment changed my internal chemistry, and I've been knocked out of balance for the last 11 months. Mm. Now, keep that same emotional reaction going on for years on end. That's called a personality trait. So then The personality is a series of memorized emotions that are connected to a past experience. Now, if you have an emotional reaction, just like a child who cries and gets over it and then gets on with playing with their toys or no longer is defined by that experience, that's called emotional intelligence. And the shorter the refractory period to the emotional reaction, probably the more emotionally healthy the person is. Now, if you're Sicilian, yeah, and my parents were from Sicily, sometimes those refractory periods last for lifetimes.
It's called a grudge.
Yeah. And hence the Cosa Nostra, huh?
Right, a family vendetta, right?
So then we draw conclusions about reality because those emotions then filter our perception. So the victim only sees a reason to suffer because that's the emotion that they've memorized that's become part of their identity. Even my Italian grandmother, who said the rosaries, and, you know, when
which
I watched her say
which
the
is
rosaries,
a prayer for those people who don't know, which is a,
yeah,
a prayer.
Praying to God, praying with all of her intention, with her conscious mind, to have a great life and a happy life and have her prayers answered, but at the same time feeling guilty. So how can our prayers be answered? Because mind is doing one thing and body is doing something else. Mind and body are in opposition.
Joe,
the new science says we have to recondition the body to a new mind.
Joe, I just have to tell you that I have been to my mother's rosary groups when I was a kid, and I loved it when they were reciting the rosary out loud, in Italian, by the way, out loud, and then I'd happen to be next to somebody who I'd hear whisper right in the middle of, you know, she'd stop and she'd say, look at that, what a whore she is, how dare she dress like this, you know, and then go back to the rosary.
No, listen, this is my experience of my Italian grandmother talking to my mother in the kitchen. She said, "Ooh, did you hear? Rosemary's getting married. It's a mixed marriage." And I'm leaning, you know, I'm kind of looking. I'm like 9 years old. She's marrying a Polish guy. It's a mixed marriage. That's, you know, and then I thought Jesus Christ was Italian until I was in, you know, fourth grade.
Wait, he wasn't? He's not?
Anyway, you get the idea.
I get the idea. And actually, to help people get even more of an idea of what we're talking about here, I love one of your stories that you share about your daughter manifesting a certain experience that you suggested she manifest. Now, I know it's a long story. I don't know if we have time for it. But if you want to condense it for us, it makes such a great example of what you're saying. And hopefully we can do that right after the break. But in the meantime, I do want to let everybody know that we are talking to Dr. Joe Dispenza right now, but that you all will be able to see him live at the U.S. Mastery Conference here in Los Angeles on October 22nd of this year, 2011. If you want more information, you can go to thereconnection.com, thereconnection.com, and learn more about that. That's the U.S. Mastery Conference, October 22nd, 2011, in Los Angeles. And we'll be back with Dr. Joe Dispenza right after this message.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest today is Dr. Joe Dispenza. Now, Dr. Joe has a couple of books out. One of them is the best-selling book, Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind. And actually, I'm ahead of myself because his next book is not out yet. But he is in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? And that, of course, is out on DVD. To learn more about Dr. Joe Dispenza, you can go to drjoedispenza.com. That's drjoedispenza.com. And before the break, we were talking about a lot of things, actually, but one particular story about you inviting your daughter to manifest something, and let me let you take it from there.
Well, actually, it actually kind of segues pretty nicely to the idea of prayer, because prayer is a skill, just like golf or tennis. The more you practice it, the better you get at it. Now, my kids just all have something in their life that they always work on in a partnership with the universe, dreams or desires they want to have occur in their life. And from the time they were probably 13 years old or so, their job was to create, and I couldn't interfere in any way. So my daughter wanted an unlimited shopping spree at one point in her life, and, you know, I never really limit whatever they want. It's up to them to choose. So for a period of time, she practiced getting in touch with the clear intention, and intention is just getting clear in your mind on what you want. And then moving into an elevated emotion of how she would feel if she just had the most amazing shopping spree of her life. And I would say to her, you can't get up as the same person who sat down. You have to get up as somebody else. And so for a few months in the summer, she practiced probably 20 minutes a day in the morning. You know, she got pretty good at it, because when I said to her, you can't get up as the same person who sat down, you have to get up like you just had the most amazing shopping spree in your life, and you have to condition your body into believing emotionally that that future reality is happening to you now. And the body is the unconscious mind. It really doesn't know the difference between the actual experience that creates the emotion or the emotion we fabricate by thought alone. And was very happy. And It came in a way that she least expected, that surprised her, and that it left no doubt that it came from her relationship with the Universal Mind. And so she was in Santa Monica visiting a friend, and they were in their favorite store, and they were just rifling through the racks. And the owner of the store is my daughter's friend, and he knew my daughter's friend's father. He took the two girls behind the counter and in the back room, and basically said, your dad did me a major favor 6 months ago, and I've been thinking about a way to pay him back, and so here's the company credit card. Have a nice afternoon, ladies. And so she was very happy that it happened in that particular way. So, and that, you know, it's one of many experiences that she's created for herself, but it shows that we have to move into a state of gratitude, and so that mind and body are working together. And when mind and body are working together, we're in a state of being, and the universe responds to who you're being, not what you're thinking or not what you're feeling, but the combination of how you think and feel, your state of being.
Oh, wow. Actually, that's a really good point, the state of being. And as a matter of fact, your second book, which I was ahead of myself, which is coming out in February of 2012, talks about breaking the habit of being ourselves, right?
Yes, that's the name of the title. It's How to Lose Your Mind and Create a New One.
I like it and hate it at the same time. I mean, I like the title, very clever. I hate it in the sense that, wait a minute, so who am I supposed to be?
Anybody you want.
Oh. I like it.
That doesn't necessarily mean you have to throw out everything. It's just that everybody secretly believes in their greatness. Everybody secretly believes that they can do a better job in life. Whether you're a prison inmate, whether you are a high executive, a CEO, whether you're a musician, everybody always strives to do a better job in life. We secretly accept that about ourselves, but not many people give themselves permission to actually do it. So it's my hope in this book that I demystify the concept of meditation and why it's so hard to change, and understand how we have to get into the operating system of the subconscious mind, where all those unconscious behaviors exist, and begin to teach people how to really use the brain and body in the most effective way.
Well, Dr. Cho, for those of us who are going to have the pleasure of seeing you here in just a couple weeks at the U.S. Mastery Conference in Los Angeles, what will you be talking about there?
Well, let's see. I have an hour and a half. And, since the idea in Reconnection has everything to do with affecting physical matter, I think I'll spend a little time talking about some experiments that have been done that absolutely show that, without a doubt, that we can use our intention and an elevated emotion to begin to change many aspects of physical reality, and then inspire people, hopefully, to understand why and when it doesn't happen, what the reasons are for why it doesn't happen, and take them on a little journey about getting out of the way and becoming nobody, and that's when we're the most effective.
Earlier you were telling us we don't have to be ourselves, and now we can actually be nobody. Could you explain that, please?
Sure. When you're in the process of creation, when you are in the process of a moment, while you're a musician, when you're in the process of any creative moment, there is a moment where you lose track of yourself. There's a moment when you're so involved with what you're doing or what you're thinking or what you're experiencing that you become nobody. You become no thing. You become no time. You actually are out of the way as an identity. That is the creative moment. When we live by those emotions that we've been talking about up until this point, you know, anger and frustration and sadness and pain and suffering and fear and anxiety, what I call survival emotions derived from the chemicals of stress, those hormones force us, in actuality, to focus on our bodies, to focus on things in our environment, to focus on time. We obsess about those things, and that's what really grounds us to this dimension. I'm saying that if you're going to connect to the invisible, that you have to get out of the way. And getting out of the way, laying the ego down, is the art in any type of healing.
Wow, I like that. You know, Dr. Cho, as a singer, I can certainly relate with that. I know I have had many a time on stage in front of audiences while I'm singing a song thinking, oh, am I going to hit that note today because I have a sore throat or geez, my voice isn't sounding as good, right while I'm singing the song. And then there are times when people came up and say, wow, I really like that song you sang, and I forget that I even sang that song. It's like, wow, where was I when I was singing that particular song? And no wonder everybody liked it, because I wasn't there thinking about whether I was doing a good job with it or not.
Right, and every time you vacate as an identity and you move into that no time, no space place, you are connecting to something bigger than you. And instead of trying to control the outcome, you're actually surrendering to something greater, and that's when we're at our best. So those moments really change Filippo, because those moments are what literally reorganize the brain and then recondition the body to a new emotion. And so if we're going to heal somebody and we're preoccupied with our own pain, our own problems, we haven't laid down the ego as a self long enough to become selfless. And that selfless moment that mystics and poets have talked about for eons is what I call the natural state of being.
So I can relate as a singer, and then people that are healers could relate to what you're saying. But what about those of us who, you know, when I'm not singing, when we're just being a regular people at the grocery store or talking to our kids or whatever it is, how does that relate to them being and us being nobody in our lives?
It's really simple, because the process requires for you in that moment to be completely present. That's the no time, no space place. And we have all the machinery in the brain to do that. And when you are truly present, it's very difficult to try to forecast some future worst case scenario or think about some past experience. When your brain and body are in the present moment, that's the moment where you are poised and spontaneous and free and creative. That's the moment where you experience your own genius. That's the moment you have insights. That's the moment where you have clarity. You see a whole new landscape. And it could happen whether you're brushing your teeth, washing the dishes, at the supermarket, playing a guitar riff, or, you know, creating a masterpiece on a piece of canvas. It happens when we get out of the way.
Wow. Wow. That's fascinating. And, the Sicilian part of me is saying, wait a minute, you're telling me to get out of the way? it's an interesting experience to be listening to this. I never heard it described this way. So thank you for that.
Well, I didn't mean to offend your genes.
No offense taken at all. You know, I am looking forward to getting to continue some of this conversation on video, because I have the opportunity, thanks to your agreement of it and the people at the Reconnection, to interview you on camera at the Reconnection, as well as you're going to be part of a panel that the audience is invited to. For those who are attending the U.S. Mastery Conference on October 22nd of this year, 2011, here in Los Angeles at the Hilton, Los Angeles Universal City. And to learn more about that, you can go to thereconnection.com. That's thereconnection.com to learn more about our guest and his current book and current DVD, as well as actually there's a question and answer DVD that we'll give you a moment to talk about that. That's there at the website as well that you can go see, and his upcoming book. You can go to Dr. Joe Dispenza for all that information.com. That's drjoedispenza.com. Of course, you could always go to lifechangeswithfilippo.com and learn about all of our guests and hear this show again. Dr. Joe, before we go, do you want to talk about that question and answer CD or share something else with us real quick?
Well, just we're doing a new line of audio CDs. The first one's called The Art of Change. The second one is called Breaking Reinvention of Self. And pretty much we have opportunities for people to ask questions, and they've taken the questions from my teleclasses and from different events that I've done that are probably relate to the subject matter of the CD. And a 2-CD series, and it's just content that give people a little bit of hint and some hints and some clues about how we make our way through the process of change, or how we reinvent a new self, and what science says about that.
Well, excellent. Well, actually, I look forward to listening to those as well. I've listened to much of your stuff. I've learned a lot from it, them, and from you, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
You're welcome. It was always a pleasure being with you, Filippo.
So I look forward to being with you again. Thank you, Dr. Joe.
Ci vediamo la prossima volta.
A presto. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
And with that, we will be right back after these messages with Mark Lejeur, actually another fellow partly Italian, with our producer's wrap right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and this is a producer's wrap with...
This is Mark Leger.
Yeah, indeed. Because we've been talking to Dr. Joe Dispenza, and in a way, he's kind of saying we're nobody, or should be.
That assumes I jump right into the zone. So I'll be Mark for a little bit, but then in a little while you'll just kind of see me disappear.
And you do that, but it more than nobody, what I think happens when you go into that place, when I'm noticing it, is you become everybody.
That's funny that you mentioned that. I was going to bring up the fact that, I really resonate with the discussion of the universal mind that Dr. Joe talks about. And I know we've touched on that subject in the past it's a descriptive for, that creative source, that universal intelligence. And the thing that's neat about that process is you kind of have to look at it as a valid argument, because we accept the fact that there is something, an intelligent force that keeps our heart beating, and or starts it back up, or allows mothers to lift cars off of an accident victim, all sorts of unusual things that happen at unusual moments without thinking. And that it's the same thing when you achieve, or when you enter the zone, when you enter that creative space. Anybody that's had a sports moment, that's had a musical moment where they come away saying, what just happened? And they don't exactly remember everything that happened, but they're seeing the results of that work in the eyes and the experience of those that were able to perceive it. That's a really cool place, and that's that creative everyone zone that he's talking about.
Yeah, that is really cool. And you mentioned like the mothers that lift the cars up. I mean, is that something we can do, or is that something that?
Yes. Yes, we can do it. The only thing that is limiting us is our conscious programming, or our unconscious, our programming in general, which is some of what Dr. Joe talks about. But we have been brought up with the certain programming and what, the limitations are. What is heavy? What our capabilities are? What humans are meant to do, etc. But again, these are all just lines of code that are programming. In an instant like that, there is it's a Malcolm Gladwell instant where that mother is tapping into the universal mind and the idea or the notion that it's not that time, the time for that person to go, and there is a way to rearrange the atoms of the car, meaning pick the car up, to change the vibration of that situation. That can happen in that instant because there is no time for processing or reaction of the individual's programming. I would argue that you tapped into the universal mind, wherein everything is possible and a different outcome was achieved.
Right, because it's almost irrational, irrational is probably a bad word, or it's not a bad word, but it doesn't reflect what I'm trying to say, because it's probably the most rational thing for the mother to do at that point is to just pick up the car, but it's not probably something that she's totally conscious of. She's not, I'll just pick up this car so that the child, no, it's just like she probably wasn't even thinking about it. It's like, pick up that damn car, move it, because there's a child underneath or something, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. The key, and it goes back to what you're saying at the beginning, she wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
And so I'm agreeing with you, and that's exactly where the fun is. What's interesting about this is, he mentioned another point that kind of resonated with me is, getting into 35 years, I think was the number he used, of life, where we are now simply our belief system. And maybe we've taken in all of this negative programming, which, of course, that's a whole other show when you talk about the media and music and a lot of the way this has been facilitated knowingly or unknowingly. But a lot of the negative programming of a tough life, a hard knock life, or whatever you want to call it, you know, we've seen it, whether it's kid shows or adult shows. And you get to this place where that's the belief system that you're operating on. But then you start to learn and you start to wake up. And boy, it was certainly an earth-shattering moment of awareness for me, and I call it a programming alert, where I recognized that I was now having to look at something that I wasn't aware of, meaning my subconscious mind, and what programs were running that may be in conflict with the very programs that I wanted or the very desires that I thought I had. So here you are, kind of working against a shadow that's been created throughout your life because you weren't aware of how you were creating it in the first place.
Right. And you know, it's interesting. Then when you become aware of how you're creating it, there's a question as to whether you're actually using what you become aware of enough, which Dr. Joe mentioned. It's like kind of, you know, doing it over and over again until it becomes a part of you. I recently had an experience, spending a day with a friend where all these magical things were happening. And this friend attributed those magical things to me, saying, "Wow, you live such a magical life." And to a certain extent, I do. But it was wonderful to have this friend remind me, because to a certain extent, I don't. Because of the fact that I was with a friend and we were having such a good time and I wanted to have for us to have a good time, I was being conscious of, oh, let's see what else we can manifest. Let's also make something other magical happen. But after that was over, then, you know, then it was just me. And then I don't think like that for myself. And therefore, the rest of my day or the rest of my days go on just kind of humdrum, when technically they could be magical too.
Yeah. Well, and everything's magical. So they definitely could. And I think that's the key is how you perceive it and the decisions you make in real time. One of the biggest struggles that I know, you know, you and I have discussed, once you have that awareness and you start looking at things, you not only do you have to practice it, or you start recognizing that you may not be in certain instances, but then you start recognizing some of the not so positive things or you know, not so positive habits that you might have, and you start, you're mentally aware of what those might be doing to you. And so then you're in a constant assessment of, you know, am I helping myself or am I not helping myself? And then I get more frustrated if I know I'm not helping myself. But boy, you know, that's a habit that's running. And so you got to kind of reprogram on the fly.
Right, which is actually the exact same thing similar to what I was talking to Dr. Joe about when I had that moment where I wanted to cry, but I didn't want to cry because I thought it's just my interpretation of the situation and et cetera, et cetera. So I liked what he said, that, you know, it's one thing having a moment and allowing your emotions to go through, and then it's another thing extending it, because then now we're getting into something else.
Yeah, I agree. Something else indeed.
So, but I, you know what? I might ask him when we're together on the October the 22nd at the Mastery Conference, if because in that moment where, you know, it might be okay to cry, to quote unquote have my emotion, what if in that moment, instead of crying, I feel anger? And what if somebody's normal process when they feel anger is to do something they then later regret, right? So there's a pattern they definitely don't want to let their emotions go to.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of those types of instances, right? There's an unlimited spectrum of emotions, and ultimately that's part of our journey here, is to, you know, to learn to categorize and to understand how to rewire our means of perceiving such that we can achieve that universal mind connection and stay on the positive side of that spectrum as often as possible.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm going to have to learn how to rewire my brain to be positive and happy when the show's over, because right now I get sad because I love what we're doing and I love the conversation. And I know you and I can continue this, but I know our listeners enjoy hearing us talk about this as well as they enjoy our guests. And it just seems like this hour just goes by so quickly. But we have come.
If this means that that the show's over and that we become nobody or no one or not here at this moment, does this mean that you were Filippo?
I don't know anymore. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I was Filippo, and this was Life Changes with Filippo. No, actually, technically, if I was in the zone throughout the whole show, which I might have because I don't even remember doing a show, then I wasn't even Filippo.
Well, I'll fill you in on some of what you said later.
All right, good. Well, that would mean that you weren't Mark, and so we'll work on you getting into the zone. So just playing. With that, this has been a great episode of Life Changes with Filippo, and I, along with our producer Mark Legere and our producer Dorothy Lee Donahue, our engineer today Don Newson, thank you for being part of this show and part of the positive changes we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, Ionways Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.